according to the promise of life. There's a promise of life. There's a promise. It's a promise of life. And it belongs to me. It belongs to you, doesn't it? Amen. The promise belongs to me. Do you believe the promise belongs to you? Or maybe not, because I've messed up. The promise. We're talking about the promise of life. This is the promise. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You guys are here by the will of God. You're in Christ by the will of God. That's His desire for you. There's a promise of life that's in Jesus. He's writing to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. But that can be to any of us. It can be to Tim. It can be to Deanna. To Jack. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ Jesus our Lord. So that grace and that mercy, and that, see, all of these are attributes of God that He's giving to you. And you need to, every time we open the Scripture, we hear these. Grace, mercy, and peace. Grace is just God for you. God all over you. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, all over you, all for you. It's because He loves you. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. So Paul's not with Timothy, but he's aware of his struggle. Jesus isn't, He is with you by His Spirit. It doesn't appear that He's, sometimes it doesn't appear that He's with you in outwardly. But even as Paul is talking to Timothy, he says, I'm praying for you night and day. You know, Jesus is praying for me night and day. He's with me night and day. He's interceding for me night and day. Even as Paul is for Timothy. And see, that's what God does in you and me, is creates intercessors. He creates those who will pray for one another night and day. You don't do it naturally. You don't do it on your own. You don't become a prayer just because you're kind of into prayer. You become one who prays for your brothers and sisters. You intercede for them. You hold them up. You hold their names up. Especially when we're struggling together. The best way to end struggle is to begin to pray for those whom you struggle with in the body. Amen? That's the greatest way to end that struggle is you become a lover, someone who loves that person you're struggling with. Is we just offer ourselves to the Lord. See, that goes back to Romans chapter 12 where he says, giving your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, presenting your body, your mouth. And again, you're doing this by faith. You're doing this out of your mouth. And God begins to show you things to do. One thing here, one thing there, one small step here. You begin to just step out into it, not again by, so God's pleased, but because you love Him and He's leading you step by step into a place where you're walking by faith and not by sight. You're walking by faith and not by sight. You're not trying to prove anything to anybody. You're just hearing more and more daily that the Lord loves you. I'm hearing daily and more daily, more and more, that He loves me. And the more I sin, and the more I just say, Jesus, I repent. Thank you for forgiving me. Not begging for forgiveness, oh God, but receiving the forgiveness that comes from the promise. receiving the forgiveness that comes from the promise of life. So Paul says this, as he's praying night and day, I'm greatly desiring to see, being mindful of your tears. We begin to be mindful of each other's struggles. Right? Galatians says, bear one another's burden, tells you to bear one another's burdens. Now, a few verses later says, every man shall bear his own burden. Doesn't mean you to pick up everybody's garbage. But what it does mean is you be prepared, is you're prepared by faith, knowing that you are loved, that you love the brethren. It's just what God said. The bottom line is you're reading the Word, and the Word is becoming you. You are becoming the Word of God. You become the Word of God. Not because you feel like it, but because God said, this is what happened. Beholding Him, I am what? Beholding Him, I'm changed. I'm transformed from glory to glory. I'm living in liberty. I'm living in liberty. So he's greatly desiring to see Timothy, being mindful of his tears, that I may be filled with joy. So I'm filled with joy just as I remember you. So we're filled with joy just even as, rather than wanting to deal with somebody, we're just praying for them and knowing that God is loving them and God is desiring to bless them. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that unfeigned just means not an actor. You're not being an actor. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, true faith, that is in you, which dwelled first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am also persuaded that in you, that it is in you. Now, did he inherit this faith from his grandmother and his mother? No. Was he taught it by his grandmother and mother? Yes. But did he inherit it like, you know, oh, well, he's got the gene of faith. He's got the genes. No, it's not true. No, he doesn't have the genes. Nobody has the genes of faith. Amen? Nobody, there's nobody in this place, not Pastor Jim, not me, not anybody in this, any super spiritual man or woman that you know that has the genes. Everybody is wicked. Everybody's sinned. Everybody's absolutely without hope. Amen? Everybody's without hope. Totally. Nobody has anything up on anybody else. When I call, remember the unfeigned faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother and your mother, and I'm persuaded it's also in you. God's given to every man, every woman, a measure of faith. Wherefore I put you in remembrance. Listen. I put you in remembrance. Now, he's telling you something. I want you to remember. I want you to hear. Remember. I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you. Talking to Timothy, but he's talking to you. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. By the putting out of my hands, Paul says. In this particular case, it was an ordination. It was a recognition of the ministry that the local elders laid their hands and made demonstration in front of the people that this man, we believe, has been raised up and by his own testimony that he's been called by God and he's received it, accepted the office of a bishop, of a pastor. So we lay our hands on him so that in the presence of the saints, he is accepted and declared as having a recognized gift in this area. For God, so Paul doesn't have something that he puts on you. I've got this in my hands and I'm going to put it on you. No, it's the laying on of hands. It's a demonstration of giving authority. Laying hands on the sick is you're giving authority, the authority that Jesus gave you. Amen? You're demonstrating the authority that Jesus gave you to lay hands on the sick. And who does the healing? Is it your hands or is it the Holy Spirit? It's the hand of God that produces the healing. I put you in remembrance that you stir up. Now everybody here, stir up the gift of God. What it's doing, how do you stir up the gift of God? By meditation on the truth rather than on the lies. Lies are big. Lies are big. They come in like a tornado. And they come in to destroy you. They come in to rip your emotions left and right. That's what the lies do. And you say, you can't take every thought captive, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, is taking every thought captive to the Word of God. Amen? Because here comes a thought. Here comes a thought to hold something against someone or to believe a lie. A thought will come to believe a lie against the Word of God. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, that's what a curse can be. It's something coming to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Here, I'm going to put a curse on you. Oh my gosh. Oh my. But you know the Word of God. No one can put a curse on me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I don't receive any of that in Jesus' name. I won't receive a devil to come to talk to me. I won't receive sickness. See, I don't receive sickness. I don't receive sickness. Now, maybe a big sickness will try to jump on me. Boy, now since I said that, maybe there's a big sickness will try to come on me. Oh, my. What am I going to do now? No, I don't believe it. I don't receive a sickness. Here comes a sickness. Try to get on me. Try to get on my nose. Amen? No, I don't receive that. I was doing a bunch of stuff. I played golf. I hadn't played golf in 10 years. I played golf out there on Monday morning, 18 holes. And then I went and set up the meeting. And I'm the sound man and the mover man and everything else. So I set up the meeting. And 2 days before that, I did a meeting for Peggy, hauling all the sound equipment. Then Sunday, then Monday. Well, I tell you, by the time Tuesday got here, I was pretty beat up. And Janet said, "Oh, take some drugs." You know, she not drugs, but I mean, you know, for Janet, taking drugs is take some Tylenol, take some Advil. And I don't know, I didn't want to. I just didn't want to. I said, "No, I don't want. I just don't want to depend on that." And I was just like, I was moving slow. You know. Can I get that? It's like just right now, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in this shoulder that I've got. Because I'm trying to scratch this shoulder, and this one don't want to move. This one has got pain in it. But I don't agree with that pain. Amen? So I'm going to just trust God. I said, no, in the name of Jesus. Pain, get out of there. I don't accept it. I don't accept curses. I don't accept, well, it's just hard work or something. I don't accept that either. I don't accept I'm getting old. You know, I try to use wisdom. Don't lift that 200-pound speaker by yourself. But I just want to believe God to get rid of it all. Amen? And not to receive anything that the devil says to me. We didn't keep scoring that golf game, by the way. Now, Pastor Jim was playing ahead of me. He was playing with the big preacher. So I let them do that. I stayed back with the little preachers. And just, you know, we didn't keep score. We just kind of beat that ball around. So I put you in remember, stir up the gift of God. So everybody right now, take a big stir stick. Look at me. Take your stick. You too. No, listen to me. You gotta have a sense of humor, Jack. Come on, get with it. Take that. Now you too. You got a gift of God. Do you know that? Amen. Do everybody know you got a gift of God? Stir it up. Right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Stir up the gift. What do you stir up the gift by? What? By, starts with an F. By faith. Stir up the gift by faith. Do we stir it? Not the other F. What's the other F? Feeling. No, it's feeling. We don't stir up the gift by feeling. We stir up the gift by faith. Feeling will kill you. Faith will make you alive. So, no matter what we feel, we say, shut up. Feelings don't have it. Amen? They don't. Feelings don't have it. Feelings don't run me. Feelings don't run me. Anybody like me? Now, do feelings come? Yes! But I don't let them run me. I say, no, you just, no. I mean, did I sound like I'd had a feeling before? Sometimes I don't sound like I have feelings, do I? Huh? I'm telling you, I've got them. I'm telling you, I've got them. I'm angry. I'll get angry. But I believe God. I say, no, that's not true. This thing's not going to run me. I repent. This thing's not going to rule me. What my kids did, what I did, what my wife did, what somebody did. It's not going to run me. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift that's in you. Joy, peace, love, faith. Stir up the faith that's in you. That's it. Faith receives the word of God instead of the word of the devil. Instead of the word of people. Faith receives the love of God. Are you a lover or not? Amen. Are you filled with love? Yes. Are you filled with love? I don't know. I don't know. No. Go back to this. That's what she was saying. Go back to the Word. You get your information from the Word. You don't get your information from, you know, church. You get your information from the Word of God. Does God supply pastors? Yeah, but you better check them out by the Word. So he put him in remembrance. For God is not, verse 7, given us the spirit of fear. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if I've got one, it didn't come from God. If I had a spirit of fear, it didn't come from God. Janet and I were talking about something the other day. There was something that came up. And she was like, she didn't know how to deal with this feeling, this something. There was a something. You ever felt like there's a something? It's demonic. You can't even put your hand on it. You can't put your feeling on it, your finger on it. But it's coming at you, and it's causing you stress. It's causing you grief. It's causing you struggle. It's causing you hurt all at once. All at once, all in the same time. You just feel like you're fixing to implode or explode when these things come. And that is not Jesus Christ. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's an enemy. It's the devil. You have an enemy. And he wants to kill you. He wants to drag you to the pit. Amen? And so we recognize our enemies. Oh, it's you! You jerk. Get out of here. I'm not going to listen to you. You don't have anything to say to me. I don't listen to what you say. I listen to the truth. I listen to the will of God. I listen to the Word of God. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. You foul thought. You wicked thought. Shut up. That's how I talk to the devil. How do you talk to him? I talk to him mean. I don't agree with him. I won't receive it. That's just what I heard in the Word of God. And I believe I'm going to act that way. I'm going to walk like that because I know that's where I get free. And you know what? That's where you get free. That's where you get free. Submit to God. Resist the devil. First you submit to God. Then you resist the devil. Submitting to God first is, you know, I can't make it. You know, I'm believing a lie. You know, I've sinned. You know, I've done wrong. First of all, submit to God. When you get under God, remember the shadow of the Almighty? Psalm 91, you get under there. Submit to God. How does that start? Anybody know? That's it. I knew you knew this. That's right. That's perfect. That's it. That's what I'm looking for. I knew you had it. Thank you. I knew I could count on you. Yeah. See, is that you get under the shadow of the wing, of His wing. You get under God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Then resist the devil. Then he'll flee. It's like the guys, you know, those guys. Hey, we seven sons of Sceva. Hey, we command you to get out in the name of Jesus who Jack preaches. Well, let's see. Paul we know. Jesus we know. And Jack we know. But who are you? Boom! And they jumped on them and ripped all their clothes off and they ran out naked, all seven of them. See? Because why? They weren't submitted to God. Those guys were not submitted to God. They were trying something new. They were trying a new deal. They had a new deal they were going to try. They weren't submitted to God. They were just going to try this new thing. Right? No, we submitted to God. God, I don't have any way out. I don't have any hope. I have no hope except for Jesus. Now, devil, get away from me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'll not receive any fear. For God's not given me the spirit of fear, but He's given me a spirit of power. That is authority. I have a spirit of authority. And of love. And of a sound mind. But I don't love you. You dirty devil. Get out. Get the devil out. Kick him out. He doesn't have any authority over you. The devil and his way and his stupid thoughts don't have any authority over you. And you know though that he has no authority to put those thoughts on you. Amen? Amen. Amen? That's good. That's the only answer we need. Because anything else, remember to let your yea be yea, yes be yes, no be no. It's either yes or no. So you have authority over the devil in Christ Jesus. Yes or no? The devil doesn't want you to answer yes. Yes. Forget your life. Yes. See, don't look at your life because Jesus isn't looking at your life. God's not looking at your life. He's looking at whose life? He's looking at Jesus' life. Isn't he? So it's not about your life. It's about His life. Is your life outwardly a mess? Sure. But the authority has nothing to do with whether you made it or not. The authority has only to do with submitting to God and you all of a sudden you have authority. You submit. How do you submit to God? Out of your mouth. You submit to God out of your mouth. You submit to God out of your mouth. Now, are you going to do it outwardly? Yeah, you'll take a step of faith. Amen. You'll take a step of faith to submit to the Lord. From your heart, but how do you make that action? Through your tongue. Amen. And then you'll take a step. You'll take a step of faith. You'll take a step of faith. You may fall flat on your face, but you'll take a step of faith. Just by saying it. For God has not given me a spirit of fear. In other words, the devil did. He tried to. But not. But God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. A sound mind. Clear. A clear mind. Not confused. Not confused. Be you not, therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of His prisoner, me, Paul said. But be you partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, when you partake of the afflictions of the gospel, do it as a partner with Jesus Christ. Do it as far as the power of God. Don't take on a burden or a persecution in your own strength. Take on a persecution and a burden for Christ, for Jesus, according to the power of God. You can't take on anything without the power of God. Amen. Okay, I'll endure it for Jesus. Nonsense. You can't endure anything. See, everybody wants to say that you got, Well, God gave you something, go out and use it. No. The only thing you can use is saying, thank you, Jesus. And I repent. And worshiping the Lord. And knowing that it's His strength every minute, every hour. It's never your strength. You're living with Him and He's living with you. Every minute of every day. But you be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us. God who has saved us. And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. He didn't call you according to your works. Your works stunk. Amen. But according to His own purpose and His grace. He didn't call you. He didn't come and call you because He thought you were impressive. He didn't call me because He thought I was worth something. He called me because of His own purpose. Go figure. I say, go figure. Why would He call me? I don't have any value. I have no value. Apart from Him, I have no value. I just have value to Him, through Him. The only value I have is to Him, is through Him. Through Him, only through Him, right? That's it. That's it, exactly. But what I'm talking about is value to perform and produce. We have no value of production apart from Him. Amen? He loved us before the foundation of the world. He desired me before the foundation of the world. I am the beloved of God. You are the total beloved of God. Amen? Amen! See, we get past thinking. The thinking that says, well, I don't know, or well, it, you know, has to do with what my emotions are telling me about something or anything. That emotions are ruling my life. Are they powerful? They seem to be. But what's more powerful? It's His love for me. What's more powerful is His love for me, and I believe that. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. What's the standard? The standard is like, uh-oh. That'd be like raising up the standard of the American flag. When the enemy comes in like a flood, well, I thought I had them all beat, but all of a sudden George Bush came in with all the armies. And we got a little scared because that guy's crazy. He's not going to quit. He's kind of like Jesus. Don't go too far. The point is, he's not going to quit. People are just afraid of that guy. It's like, man, he won't give up. He won't take his armies out. We can't intimidate him. Jesus won't be intimidated. Jesus, of course, George Bush is not. Just the analogy there in that moment is that, you know, people hate him because he won't give up. Amen? That's right. But see, when Jesus came, when the big guys came in, you know, it's like Hitler thought he had Europe routed, but all of a sudden he woke the sleeping giant. He woke up the United States. All of a sudden here comes the emblem, the standard, the emblem of the U.S. flag, and all of a sudden, I mean, man, it's too much. We came in like gangbusters, and you don't stop us. You don't stop Jesus. Any analogy is a bad analogy when you're talking about Jesus and His power. But just to give a human example. All right? So here, He saved us, called you with a holy calling, not according to your works, but according to His own purposes. Ephesians says, it's not according to our goodness. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us. So He's called us according to His own purpose and grace. Purpose and grace is why He called us. Which was given in us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest through the appearing, in other words, it was planned from the beginning, but then Jesus showed up. In the fullness of time, Jesus showed up. And is now made manifest by the appearing, that salvation that was planned all of a sudden appeared when Jesus showed up, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light. He brought it out in the open. He brought it to display. It's on display. Light and immortality. Life and immortality are now the norm. It's the order of the day. It's clear. It was hidden in the Scriptures. Nobody even knew Jesus was coming. They'd heard a seed was coming. But they didn't know He was going to come as a lamb to take our sins and to join us to God. They didn't get it. That they were going to have to, they couldn't be reconciled to God apart from a Savior. Bulls and goats aren't going to do it. We're waiting for the Savior to come to save us. We're waiting for a big Savior to come to the top of the temple and restore the kingdom to Israel. Can't. God can't. If God showed up, He would not only kill your enemies, He would kill you. You don't know who God is. Oh, we can't even speak His name. Well, you could not even be in His presence. It would be dust. Instantly incinerated. But because of the blood of Jesus, we've been redeemed and we can walk in His presence. We walk in His presence right now because of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives in us. He lives in me. God Himself lives in me. I mean, it's bad enough being on the outside of me. Imagine being in me. You ever watch the ER? It's gross in there. You know? It's yucky. And they don't even see the sins. I don't think ER, you just get the blood and guts. You don't get deep enough into me to see my sins. But Jesus lives right where my sins used to be. He lives in my heart. And He loves me. And He's never leaving. He's never leaving. He's walking with me. He's walking in with me. He's walking out with me. He's walking to work with me. He's walking home with me. No matter where I am, no matter who I'm with, He loves me. He loves me. He loves you. You know, no matter how much I say He loves you, you've got to be able to say He loves me. You got to say He loves me. Remember to say it. Remember the song we sang Sunday? Yes. 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 Isn't that a great song? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. I am weak, but He is strong. And then what's the next word?
Yes.
That's a great, that's just powerful to me. And how many times did we say it in the same song? Three times. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I don't know if that's what they were thinking. I just make that up. But it says it three times. God's in the three. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. It's kind of like, maybe Jesus loves me. I'm not sure Jesus. Well, you could sing that. We think that. I hope Jesus still loves me. I think that in my head. But then I go back to the song. That's a great song. Because it's always saying yes. In the face of every lie, it's yes, Jesus loves me. Well, you just send. Yes, Jesus loves me. You're a loser. Yes, Jesus loves me. You will never survive. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Where'd you get that information? The Bible tells me. The Bible tells me. Well, the Bible was written by men. Yeah, but it was written by God. It was written by men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. The Scriptures were written by men. Amen. You can agree with that guy that says, the Scriptures were written by men. You said, yeah, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. He's abolished death. Verse 10, and has brought life and immortality to light through the good news, through the gospel. Whereto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, said Paul. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I suffer, but I'm not ashamed. For I know that I have whom I have believed. This is a great scripture. For I know whom I have believed. I know Him. I know Him. And I am fully, absolutely, positively, without a doubt, no way out, no way to get it free. I am fully persuaded. You cannot persuade me otherwise. Amen? I know you're fully persuaded. That He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him, that is everything of me. He's able to keep it. He's able to hold on to it. He's not going to lose it. He's not going to drop it. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him all the way to the last day, against that day. I've committed to Him everything. Then it seems like I take it back. But I say, no, I've committed to Him everything. All things. For I know whom I have believed, and He is able, you know, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. So He's telling you to do this. Okay, I'm persuaded. Hold fast. Hold it. Don't let it move. Hold fast that form of sound words which you have heard of me. I'll take that one. Hold fast that form of sound words that you've heard from here. You've heard some sound words here. Trust. Believe. Speak it with your mouth. Know that you're wicked. Know that you're forgiven. Know that God loves you. Know that He's going to perform it in you, and you're not going to perform it in yourself. Have no expectation of your goodness, but expectation of the fruit of the Word of God. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the form of sound words. That's a good title for this one. Hold fast the form of sound words. That good thing which was committed to you, keep it by the Holy Ghost. I got to read Hebrews chapter 1 or 2. What I just read there, it says, the good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Ghost. Keep it, keep it, keep it.
Hold fast to it.
Keep it. Hold fast to it. Keep it. Don't let it... Chapter 2 of Hebrews says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Heed what you've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hold fast that which was committed to you. Keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. It says, chapter 3 of Hebrews says this, He says, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Put your mind upon Him, the author and the finish. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And then the fourth chapter, these first verse of these three chapters, Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us. There's a promise of entering into His rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. I don't want to come short of it. So I'm going to hold fast. I'm going to hold fast this word. This you know. So, talking to Timothy. That all those which are in Asia have turned away from me. That's Paul. All of his buddies in Asia had turned away from him. Of whom are Phileas, or Phigellus, and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onias of for it. You know, I didn't. Onesiphorus. For he often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus, you know very well. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. Let's keep it. Amen? Amen? We're going to keep it? Hallelujah. Hold it fast. Let us give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard rather than the things that we have seen. That verse over in Hebrews 2, 1. Let's give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. There's a lot of things that we have seen and experienced. And when he's talking about heard, he's talking about what we've been taught. Paul said in another book, he said, those things which you have both learned and heard and seen and in me, received of me, do. That is, believe. Keep them. Keep them just means hold them. Hold them next to you. Observe them. Guard them. Don't let them slip. Meditate on them. Think on these things. Amen? Can we pray together for your, first of all, for your job? Can we do that? No, we didn't do it. We didn't get that far. Amen. I'm believing that. Let's pray for the finished word. Amen. Right. God's going to see this whole thing through. You're going to have what it is. Have the right one, and you'll know which one it is. All right?
And also just got the right money to spend on $15.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we rejoice. Deanna is rejoicing. We're rejoicing with her that you are making provision for her. One door closed, one spot closed. If there was anything of her having to do with it, she's repented of it. She said, Lord, forgive me. Thank you for bringing the next one. So she's forgiven, and she's now ready for the next thing, because you're not going to leave her forsaken. You're not going to leave her helpless, because you're her dad. You're her husband. And you said you would take care of her. So in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I thank you for full provision for Deanna, your daughter, our sister. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we praise you and glorify you. Thank you for bringing to pass that one job that you have desired for her, that you have created relationships, created networking, and that you will now bring it to pass. And we expect it. We thank you for the evidence already of the many interviews and leads that you have provided during the last week. Now we thank you that you will finish the work in Jesus' name. You've already done it. Just like you've already set Jesus in place from the foundation of the world, you knew exactly what Deanna needed and when. So you're not caught by surprise and you're not caught off guard. So we just thank you for it and we give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for money now. Thank you for money now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be here.
If there's Bible study, show up.
I'll be here. I'll be here next Wednesday.
You know, on Thanksgiving, you know, the day before Thanksgiving.
We'll give thanks the next day.
She's coming back on the 25th. She got sick over there. She ate something raw.
Don't be eating that raw fish.
I don't know what it was. There's a bird. She's praised by the Lord because the bird flu didn't hit her.
Amen. I agree with that. We don't want any bird flu to get on Lindsay.
She's okay.
Amen. Okay, Lord bless you. All right. Well, I think that was worth doing. I think that was worth doing. I think it was good. I was blessed. That Bible study. That was a blessing. Oh, I guess I'll have to turn this off.